This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Shifting Gears. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Much of what makes cars dangerous comes from us. Driver error, doing things like speeding, driving drunk, driving super tired, or using our phones. Jackie Tears lost her daughter Danielle in a car crash.
She had been on Snapchat and texting at the time of the accident.
Danielle rear-ended a truck at about 70 miles an hour.
She didn't brake. She never even saw it. It was just a huge blow.
After Danielle's death, Jackie started a campaign called Do It for Danielle. Jackie does a lot of public speaking at schools where she shares facts like this one.
It takes approximately 4.6 seconds to read or send a text message. And in 4.6 seconds at 70 miles an hour, your car can travel the distance of a football field and a half.
We all know that texting in the car, getting on Snapchat, posting on Instagram is a terrible idea, full stop. We know it can have deadly consequences. So why can't we stop? Why do so many drivers still use their phones anyway? Steph Yin looked into this, but first, she has a confession to make.
I'm not proud of it, but I use my phone pretty often while driving. I toggle between podcasts, music, and audiobooks. I surf social media, make calls. I've even written emails. I know the facts, like one in every four car accidents involves cell phones. So why am I making such bad choices? To find out, I talked to Kit Delgado, an emergency physician and professor at the University of Pennsylvania. He's interested in what's called behavioral economics, the factors that go into our flawed decision-making. There's present bias, meaning we give more weight to benefits in the present moment.
People tend to respond to immediate gratification rather than delaying things so that, you know, to prevent crashes in the future.
Then there's overconfidence bias.
If you ask a room of 100 drivers, you know, how they compare to other drivers in terms of their driving safety, 90% will say that they're safer than other drivers.
And recency bias.
You've just completed hundreds of trips without getting into a crash. You probably used your phone for some of them. So when that phone ping goes off, you're not even calculating that risk of getting into a crash because you've never experienced it before.
There are lots of efforts to get us to think straight when driving. High schools now run programming around phone use while driving. There are media campaigns to shift cultural attitudes.
No text is worth the risk. It can wait.
And currently, 48 states ban texting and driving by law. Kit's working on the technology side with an app company called TrueMotion that tracks driving behaviors like texting and other distractions. Their idea is to pair good driving with incentives like discounts on insurance or cash rewards. I decided to try one of TrueMotion's apps myself, driving and using my phone as I normally would.
Let me go to a TrueMotion family app, get started on this drive.
But after about 2 weeks using their family app, I got an A+, a perfect score for avoiding distraction. How is that possible? I hopped on a call with TrueMotion to ask about it.
I'm Rafi Feingold, and I am VP of Loyalty and Behavior here at TrueMotion.
First, I asked Rafi how exactly all this works. In short, they're using the motion sensors in your phone, which are extremely sensitive and can sample data up to 100 times a second.
Things like accelerometer, gyroscope, magnetometer, and then in kind of post-processing, we run a bunch of algorithms.
Those algorithms deduce when you're typing or browsing or playing on your phone. TrueMotion doesn't know what content you're looking at or what apps you're on, but from your phone's operating system, they can see when you're making a call and whether your screen is unlocked. Rafi showed me that TrueMotion did in fact register my phone use, but they didn't count it because they considered it passive use. I was tapping and swiping my phone, but in a mount, not in my hand.
And that was kind of a UX decision that we made because we didn't want to ding people for behaviors that they considered to be safe. Having your phone in a mount is probably safer than interacting with your phone in the hand.
Still, Rafi told me that I drove about 13 hours and used my phone in the mount almost 30% of the time. That percentage seemed high to me. If you asked me to give myself a grade, I'd probably give myself a C. I felt distracted. Rafi says True Motion's planning to come out with a mounted tap detection feature this year, which should account for some of my concerns. But to be real, my concern goes beyond how well an app can track my driving. What truly worries me is that my impulse to use my phone while driving was really strong, even though I was aware of the consequences. So this is a deeper problem.
The worst offenders, the drivers that are distracted on their phone almost 30% of the time. We call these folks phone addicts.
That's Jonathan Matthews, the CEO of Zendrive, a company that studies driving behavior through data and analytics. Last month, Zendrive published their yearly report based on more than 160 billion miles of driver data. It found that one in every 12 drivers is a phone addict.
This is our generation's drunk driving. We are conditioned to have these devices next to us, 6 feet or less throughout the day. And we become dependent on them. And it's increasingly difficult to think of the time on the road as time that should not be experienced through the smartphone.
Jonathan says smartphones are hacking into reward systems in our brains.
The way notifications and a lot of the experiences on the phone work is they trigger some of the neurochemistry and neuromachinery that was created to help us survive in the wild, the dopamine, the serotonin. Those neurotransmitters are very, very important in regulating pleasure and attention.
He suggests one of the best things you can do to reduce phone use while driving is to practice leaving your phone behind in daily life.
Put the phone in the fridge, and go out for a stroll around the block, and talk to our neighbors, and talk to some strangers, cook a meal, enjoy the weather.
We can also rewire our circuits by reframing what makes us feel good. Make it a goal to drive without using your phone and reward yourself if you succeed. Here's one super easy thing to help. iPhones have a setting called Do Not Disturb While Driving, and Androids have a similar mode. It takes 10 seconds to set up. The setting prevents calls and messages from coming in unless the sender says it's an emergency, which removes the temptation to respond to that message from your boss or your new crush. And it'll send an auto reply to anyone who tries to contact you, so you don't have to worry about leaving people hanging. Kit, the researcher studying incentives at the University of Pennsylvania, thinks if this setting comes as the default on new phones, or people just start using it across the board, it'll simply become a new social norm. And people can customize their away messages. Have fun with it.
I wrote here, boo, I'm right behind you. No, just kidding. I'm driving with Do Not Disturb. While driving turned on, I'll see your message when I get where I'm going.
I set this up on my phone, too. And should you text me while I drive, here's what you'll get. Hey there, I'm driving and not trying to get caught riding dirty. I'm working on cutting down my phone use while driving. Join me by going to settings and turning on Do Not Disturb While Driving. I'll see your message when I get to my destination, which is hopefully the woods or the beach.
That's Steffian reporting.